In 2020, a company called NuScale Power achieved something no one else had managed before: regulatory approval for the world's first small modular reactor, or SMR. It was not a towering cooling tower on the horizon, not a vast concrete labyrinth like the nuclear plants of the 20th century, but something smaller, quieter, and altogether different in spirit. NuScale's design could be built in a factory, transported by truck or rail, and assembled like a kit. Each reactor module promised 77 megawatts of clean electricity, with the option of clustering them together into scalable, flexible plants. What set these reactors apart was not just their size, but their philosophy. They were made to be inherently safe, passive cooling systems that did not require external pumps, containment vessels designed to shut themselves down without operator intervention. For decades, nuclear had been treated as heavy, monolithic, politically fraught. NuScale offered something modular, adaptable, almost portable. At first, the promise was modest but meaningful: to replace coal-fired plants, to stabilize grids saturated with renewables, to power desalination facilities or isolated industrial hubs, a cleaner, safer form of baseload electricity for a warming world. But technologies rarely stay inside the boxes they are built for. Jet engines were not meant to change commercial travel, yet they did. Satellites were not imagined as tools for GPS and global communication, yet they became exactly that. Nuclear propulsion itself began with submarines and carriers before reshaping the balance of naval power. So we arrive at the question: what if NuScale's reactors are not just a solution for grids and cities, but for the skies themselves? What if the modularity and safety that make them so appealing on the ground could one day support a new kind of airborne platform, one that redefines endurance not in hours or days, but in months? From modular reactors to modular horizons. Modularity is not just an engineering choice, it is a philosophy of deployment. NuScale's small modular reactors, SMRs, are designed to be built in factories, shipped as near-complete units, and arrayed like components on a backbone. That philosophy maps naturally to aerospace thinking: redundant subsystems, distributed loads, and the ability to isolate, service, or swap individual modules without taking the whole platform offline. On the ground, a NuScale plant scales by adding reactor modules to a common balance of plant. In the sky, the analog is a nuclear electric architecture, a compact reactor driving turboelectric generators that feed a high-voltage DC bus. From that bus, dozens of electric propulsors, sensors, and hotel loads draw power as needed. The reactor becomes the beating heart, the electric grid becomes the vascular system, the propulsors are the limbs that keep the body aloft and maneuverable. Why this matters? The history of nuclear aviation in the 1950s faltered on three fronts: mass, especially shielding, thermal management, and crew safety. Modularity reframes each constraint. Instead of shielding an entire fuselage, you shield selectively, a compact, shadow-shielded reactor placed in an uncrewed bay, separated from crewed volumes by distance and structure. Instead of a single, fragile propulsion train, you distribute thrust across many nacelles, each independently fed, so that N plus 1 or even N plus 2 failures are survivable without loss of control or mission. Thermal management, long the unglamorous killer of ambitious designs, also benefits from modular thinking. A megawatt-class electric system sheds multiple megawatts of heat, but it need not do so through a single bottleneck. Dorsal radiators can be segmented and valved, heat pipes can route around damaged sections, and daytime solar generation can allow partial reactor throttle down, easing radiator loads when the sun is generous and restarting full output at night when the sky itself becomes the sink. The airframe that best expresses this architecture is not a conventional tube and wing jet, but a hybrid lift carrier, part lighter than air volume for static buoyancy, part aerodynamic body for dynamic lift, with a rigid spine to carry power trunks and maintenance tunnels. In such a vehicle, electrical propulsion is a native language. Distributed propellers mounted along the hull's shoulders and tail provide fine-grained control authority. With proper flight control laws, any one or two adjacent nacelles can be taken offline for inspection while the rest shoulder the load. Scalable power. A single compact reactor provides continuous baseload electric power measured in megawatts. Batteries handle transients. Solar assists during daylight. Service while aloft. Walk-in nacelles, accessible from a pressurized service corridor, allow technicians to lock a rotor, hot swap a motor cartridge, or replace power electronics without depressurizing the ship. Fault tolerance by design. Two independent HVDC rings can each feed every other nacelle. Isolation breakers and solid-state transformers localize faults to a single bay. Payload flexibility. The electric bus is agnostic. Propulsion, radar, comms, directed energy, or fabrication tools can be added as mission kits without re-architecting the prime mover. Critically, not every green add-on pays its rent. Solar arrays across the dorsal surface can yield meaningful auxiliary power at altitude, megawatt-scale peak on a stadium-sized roof, but embedded wind turbines generally do not. Any power extracted from the airstream increases drag the propulsion system must overcome. In other words, panels help the balance. Hull-mounted windmills hurt it. The goal is smooth surfaces, minimized parasitic drag, and efficient radiative cooling, not harvesting energy from the very flow you're paying to create. When you connect these pieces, a new horizon opens. The same attributes that make SMRs compelling on land, factory fabrication, passive safety, modular growth, translate into an airborne platform that is maintainable in flight, resilient to localized failures, and capable of months-long endurance. Modularity is the bridge that carries nuclear power from ground grids to sky grids, from stationary plants to skyborne fortresses. The airborne carrier concept. Now imagine the outcome of marrying this modular nuclear core with a hybrid lift airframe. What emerges is not a fighter jet, nor a fragile balloon, but something altogether different, a skyborne fortress. Its size would rival a football stadium, its silhouette more akin to a floating city than an airplane. It would not dart across the sky at supersonic speeds. Rather, it would linger with patience, a sovereign presence above oceans and borders, a mothership in the stratosphere. The heart of the carrier is the compact SMR, feeding power into a high-voltage electric grid. Around its vast hull are arranged dozens of propulsors, each independently driven, each replaceable in flight. With N+1 or N+2 redundancy, technicians could safely deactivate and service one or two nacelles at a time without compromising stability. In this way, the vessel could remain airborne for months without ever having to return to Earth for routine maintenance. Resupply becomes another solved problem. Conventional cargo aircraft or drones could rendezvous with the carrier in midair, delivering food, spare parts, and munitions. Refueling systems similar to those used by aerial tankers could be adapted to transfer not jet fuel for propulsion, but aviation fuel for drones and auxiliary craft carried aboard. A ventral bay could accept palletized cargo from glider pods or VTOL drone tenders, making the vessel a logistics hub as well as a fortress. The exterior itself becomes part of the power ecosystem. The vast dorsal surface, lined with solar panels, contributes a steady stream of auxiliary power, enough to offset reactor loads during peak sunlight and to recharge distributed batteries for transients. These panels also double as radiators, dissipating the megawatts of waste heat generated by the nuclear core. Together, they create a balance of flow: solar in the day, reactor in the night, batteries for the spikes in between. Inside, the carrier would not need to host a large crew. Advances in automation allow for a lean human presence. Specialists, maintenance staff, mission commanders, while the heavy lifting of navigation, propulsion control, and systems monitoring is handled by software. The reactor itself, shadow shielded and housed in an uncrewed bay, can run semi-autonomously for years at a time, monitored remotely and requiring only periodic inspection. The role of such a platform could be multifaceted. It could operate as an airborne aircraft carrier, launching and recovering swarms of drones for surveillance, strike, or logistics. It could act as a communications and sensor hub, its altitude giving line-of-sight advantages over vast territories. It could serve as a persistent command post, immune to ground-based blockades and able to shift theater simply by riding prevailing winds. Above all, it would embody endurance. A machine unmoored from the limitations of refueling cycles, measured not in hours or days, but in seasons. This is the essence of the airborne carrier. Not speed, not stealth, but presence. A mobile fortress in the sky, sustained by modular nuclear power, maintained in the air, resupplied by allies, and reinforced by redundancy at every level. A vessel that does not merely fly, but abides. Feasibility and friction. Of course, every vision collides with reality. The dream of nuclear-powered aviation is not new. It was pursued earnestly in the 1950s by both the United States and the Soviet Union. Experimental aircraft, such as the NB-36H Crusader and the Tu-95LAL, flew with onboard reactors, testing whether nuclear propulsion could keep a plane aloft indefinitely. The verdict at the time was sobering. Shielding was too heavy, thermal management too unwieldy, and the risk of accidents too catastrophic. The projects were abandoned, and nuclear power retreated to submarines and carriers, where mass and crash risk were more forgiving. So what has changed? The answer lies in materials, automation, and philosophy. Advanced composites and alloys make today's airframes lighter and stronger, capable of carrying larger volumes without proportional weight penalties. Automated systems reduce the need for large onboard crews, which in turn reduces the extent of shielding required. If only a small protected habitat module needs to be safe, the rest of the vessel can be left to machines. Passive safety designs, pioneered by companies like NuScale, mean reactors can operate with less intervention and lower risk of catastrophic runaway. In short, the very problems that once grounded nuclear aircraft have shifted, if not disappeared. Thermal management remains a formidable challenge. A megawatt-scale electric propulsion system will always produce megawatts of waste heat. Yet even here, modular thinking helps. Instead of one massive radiator, the hull can be lined with segmented panels, each part of a distributed thermal system. Solar panels can double as radiators during night cycles, and variable emissivity coatings can adjust how much heat is shed depending on conditions. The problem does not vanish, but it becomes manageable rather than fatal. Another source of friction lies in geopolitics. A nuclear-powered aircraft that can loiter for months over international waters or at the edge of national borders would raise questions far beyond engineering. Treaties, overflight rights, safety concerns, and public perception all form part of the equation. Even if the platform never carried a single warhead, its very existence would be seen as a strategic escalation. For some, it would symbolize deterrence, for others, provocation. Finally, there is the unavoidable question of what happens in the event of failure. A crash of a nuclear-powered aircraft over land or sea would spark international outrage, no matter how well the reactor was armored or designed to survive intact. To address this, any airborne carrier would likely be restricted to oceanic loiter zones, operating far from populated areas. It would be treated less like an aircraft and more like a mobile sea base in the sky, its corridors mapped out, its patrols carefully monitored, its risks mitigated by distance as much as by design. These frictions do not erase the vision, they sharpen it. They force us to distinguish between fantasy and engineering, between propaganda and practicality. And what emerges from that sharpening is not a dismissal, but a more precise outline. A nuclear-powered airborne carrier is difficult, controversial, and politically sensitive, but no longer impossible. Strategic implications. If such a skyborne fortress were ever realized, its impact would extend far beyond engineering novelty. It would redraw the strategic map. The aircraft carrier at sea changed the nature of naval power in the 20th century. An airborne carrier could alter the geometry of deterrence in the 21st. First, there is persistent surveillance. A platform loitering for months at stratospheric altitude could host powerful radar arrays, optical systems, and electronic intelligence suites. Unlike satellites locked into orbital paths, the airborne carrier could reposition with weather patterns or geopolitical events, providing continuous, flexible coverage. It would be less predictable than a satellite, harder to blind, and more adaptable to changing circumstances. Second, it could function as a drone mothership. Modern air combat and reconnaissance are increasingly unmanned. Swarms of UAVs could be launched, recovered, rearmed, and redeployed directly from the carrier. This bypasses the limitations of ground bases and the vulnerability of fixed infrastructure. In effect, the fortress becomes a mobile launch pad in the sky, extending reach and tempo for operations across oceans or contested airspace. Third, it serves as a resilient command and control node. In an age when cyber disruption, satellite jamming, and kinetic strikes threaten fixed headquarters, a stratospheric carrier offers a hardened alternative. Its altitude gives line-of-sight advantages for communication relays. Its nuclear heart guarantees power for high-energy systems, directed energy weapons, advanced radar, or secure long-range communications. And its mobility makes it difficult to target, always moving, always shifting theater, like a slow but relentless chess piece. Fourth, the carrier embodies a new form of strategic presence. Just as a U.S. carrier strike group at sea signals commitment without words, a nuclear airborne carrier overhead would become a visible symbol of deterrence. It is not merely hardware, it is narrative. To allies, it signals protection. To adversaries, it signals capability. To the wider world, it signals that power has risen into yet another dimension. But with this presence comes vulnerability. A skyborne fortress the size of a stadium cannot be hidden. It is detectable, trackable, and if unprotected, potentially targetable. Its survival would depend on layered defenses, drone escorts, directed energy for intercept, electronic warfare to blind incoming threats. Like the carriers of old, its strength is not invisibility but resilience, the ability to withstand pressure and to project power despite being seen. Ultimately, the strategic implications of a nuclear airborne carrier are not only military but philosophical. It asks us to rethink what constitutes a domain of control. Sea power once determined empires, air power reshaped wars, space power is now contested. A persistent nuclear platform in the sky blurs the line between these domains, creating a new category, the aerial sea base, sovereign yet mobile, visible yet untouchable, finite in number but infinite in endurance. The wider lens, step back for a moment from the mechanics of reactors and propellers, and a larger theme comes into view. At its heart, the airborne carrier is not about weapons or war. It is about what happens when energy itself becomes modular, mobile, and abundant. The first railroads were not just transportation systems. They were engines of industrialization, pulling entire economies in their wake. The first satellites were not just orbital cameras. They became the scaffolding for navigation, communication, and commerce. In the same way, the SMR is not only a reactor. It is a key that unlocks new architectures of civilization. If a power plant can be built in a factory, shipped by truck, and switched on like a generator, then the boundaries of settlement and industry shift. Remote towns, mining outposts, and deserts can thrive without fragile fuel convoys or unstable grids. Floating desalination plants can turn seawater into lifelines. Disaster zones can regain electricity within weeks, not years. Energy, once centralized and political, becomes distributed and practical. This is the quiet revolution that NuScale and its peers promise. The airborne carrier is simply a dramatic extension of that revolution. It takes the same principle that a compact, safe, modular reactor can deliver continuous power anywhere and applies it to the sky. Where once endurance was bound by fuel tanks and supply chains, it is now defined by imagination. A platform can remain aloft for months. A city can rise where there was none. A grid can emerge without wires. A frontier can be crossed not because we have more fuel, but because we no longer need it. This perspective forces us to widen the frame. The airborne carrier is a symbol, but the implications ripple outward. Factories without grids, settlements without pipelines, fleets without ports. Wherever energy becomes portable, permanence follows. The architecture of power, political, military, and civil, reshapes itself to match. What was once anchored becomes free-floating. What was once limited becomes persistent. What was once scarce becomes abundant. And so the question is no longer only whether such a vessel could be built. The deeper question is, what else becomes possible when endurance itself is unshackled? The football stadium in the sky is only one answer. The mosaic of possibilities is far larger, and it stretches from the ocean floor to the high atmosphere, from isolated villages to sprawling megacities. Wherever the modular reactor travels, it leaves behind not just power, but the promise of permanence. Endurance unshackled. The vision of a nuclear-powered airborne carrier may sound like the script of speculative fiction, yet it emerges from real technologies already in our hands. NuScale's small modular reactors are not dreams. They are licensed designs, engineered for safety and scalability, waiting to be deployed on the ground. The leap is not one of science, but of imagination, to see that what can transform cities and deserts might also transform skies. Such a platform would not be without friction. Engineering hurdles remain, politics would bristle, treaties would strain, and public fears would be loud. Yet history tells us that where energy is mastered, architecture follows. Steam begot railways, oil begot highways and mechanized warfare. Nuclear power begot the submarine that can cross oceans unseen. If SMRs are the next step in that lineage, then the airborne carrier is one of many possible futures they can summon into being. Perhaps it will never be built. Perhaps treaties and caution will keep the reactors on the ground, powering towns instead of fortresses. Yet even then, the principle remains. When energy becomes modular, endurance itself changes. The airborne carrier is one symbol of that shift, but the deeper transformation is already underway. Settlements unbound from grids, industries freed from pipelines, communities sustained by power plants small enough to move yet strong enough to last. Endurance is no longer tethered to the tanker, the pipeline, or the coal train. It belongs to imagination, to design, to the quiet hum of a sealed reactor core. Whether in the sky or on the ground, the story is the same. The future is not only about faster machines or higher walls, but about longer presence. Presence that endures through seasons, that reshapes the map, that unshackles what was once bound by scarcity. The football stadium in the sky is just one image. The true revolution lies in the permanence of power itself.